Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and I have my co-host with me.
And good evening, and good evening. What a beautiful, crisp Tuesday evening.
It is for South Florida. Isn't it wonderful?
Absolutely wonderful. We get a chance to put on sweaters that we never do. You ladies get to put on boots that you never get a chance to wear, and everybody's happy.
Yes, indeed. And it is also the day after Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. What a magnificent person Dr. King was to leave us a legacy, a roadmap, and things that we should follow.
You know, the icon, the modern day prophet, if you would, of our lifetime, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes.
The transformer, the drum major for justice, the unifier. He represented and encompassed all that. And he did it in a way that many still don't believe in, but he did it through nonviolence because he believed that truth would outweigh a lie. He also believed that injustice anywhere was a threat to justice
everywhere.
So we all had a responsibility to be, if you would, the conduits of justice. And so he is so right to be honored, Dr. Val. And I can recall when the whole legislation was being pushed forth many years ago about making this his birthday a national holiday celebration. And there were those that opposed it. And there was even a few states that did not come on initially. But it was overwhelmingly, without any reservation, that we knew that this man deserved a holiday to be done in his honor. And I'm always just honored to be even associated with the name Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And he's my inspiration. It's been my inspiration most of my life. And I just salute him. And I pray and trust that everyone will make every day in January a day that we celebrate him.
Yeah, you're actually in a city where a lot of history happened. I remember as a child when Dr. King got assassinated, and it was like the whole house just like rang out, screamed out, and said, "They just killed Dr. King." And I remember looking at my family and wondering what happened, what happened. And they were showing it on the TV, was black and white, of course. And they were showing on the television what had happened, and they were talking. And from then it ignited a flame in me to want to know more about our history, want to be more involved with my community. And one of the favorite quotes I like of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is, "Out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope." And that's what he was to us. He was that stone of hope for us, because we've had to overcome so much as a people, and out of a lot of despair. Out of a lot of despair, but we kept it moving, we kept it going. And now here we are, when it comes down to voters' rights, they fought so hard for us to have the opportunity to vote. And so many people are so laxed about what the significance of the struggle and the life and the legacy of Dr. King and so many others was all about.
And that's the sad part, because I think that we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to ourselves to make sure that story is continuously told. You know, being born and raised in Selma, Alabama, you know, where so much of this Voting Rights Act, what would become the Voting Rights Act, became a lie, always stick with me. Like yourself, I remember I was a young kid. Matter of fact, one of my earliest recollection in life is when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was killed. I'll tell you that I was 3 years old, going three and a half, going on four. But I remember so well all the commotion in the house and the crying that they had killed Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I can still remember my mom, my sisters, and everyone gathered around once again, that big but yet black and white television, and watching them talking about Dr. King had been killed and assassinated. I could still see my mother crying, everyone crying, and my heart was heavy. And it was very heavy as a little boy. And it was only afterwards that I realized the significance of what had happened. I learned about him. Some of the same people that marched with him were my teachers. They were my educators. I didn't know how famous these people was, but and probably they didn't either. But I look at people like the late
Dr. Reverend Dr. Frederick Douglass Reese, incredible man. He was responsible for getting Dr. King to come. And often tell when we tell the history, when we see the people being beaten with billy clubs and things like John Lewis, we have to remember for that particular march, Dr. King wasn't there. That was the first attempt. But afterwards, Dr. Frederick Douglass Reese wrote a letter to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., come to Selma, and the rest is history, because we saw a man with courage under fire. We saw a man who believed that his faith made him whole. I think Dr. King lived by the fact that some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of our God. And that's who he was. And I was honored to grow up that same Edmund Pettus Bridge that we see in the news. That bridge used to be very scary to me as a little boy, because you would hear things like, you mess up, you act up, they're going to throw you in the Alabama River. And guess what? That's more easier to believe than anything. But as I got older, I realized that bridge was a symbol. It was a symbol of victory. It was a symbol of triumph. It was a symbol of unity, because on that day, in March of that year, of 1966, it was 65, in that march there, think about it. There were people, Black, white, Jews, Latino, people from everywhere that came to that march there because they said enough was enough. Voting rights needed to be passed. Think about not being able to vote, not even being counted as vote. And then they had things like, little trick schemes in order for you to vote. You got to guess how many jelly beans are in this jar. Things like that. So when we fail to vote today, we do a disservice to those who lost their lives, those that were beaten within inches of their lives. When we fail to vote, what we basically say is that their work was in vain, and I refuse to allow that to be my story. We have to remember the work, the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., organizations like SNCC and others that was very instrumental in us being able to enjoy the privileges that we have now.
And that is so true. And tonight we have a special guest. He's a friend of mine, Michael Ponte. He is a businessman, an author, and he has started this company called Global Unity Sphere. And I want to bring Michael on to talk about it. I think it's so fitting to talk about unity tonight. Michael.
Good evening, Dr. Val and Dr. J.
Good evening.
I love your t-shirt, Unity.
Love it.
Thank you. This is, something I designed. It says Unity, the time is now. I think
it is now.
It has to be.
It is now. It's so much disconnect globally, not just here in the U.S. Globally, it's so disconnected as never before. So tell us a little bit about your movement. Because this is what you're starting, a movement for unity. Talk about that.
So the idea came quite a few years ago, and unfortunately I put it on a shelf and didn't do a lot with it. And then, the events of the day started to transpire, and my wife looked at me and she said, don't you think that the world could use your idea now? And I realized she was right. So I broke out the idea. I went to work on some prototypes and then started to work with a designer and got to the point to where we are now, that we have a fully working prototype and we're ready to go to production.
Awesome. So when we talk about unity to you, there are people who hear the word unity, but they think that unity is uniformity. And there are two different things when we talk about unity and uniformity. And from what I could understand with you, unity has the ability to transcend ethnicity. Unity transcends, if you would, gender. It transcends all of these man-made barriers and these artificial constructs that we have erected in our lives that have really kept us separated. And so in your platform and what you're looking to do is to not only brand this message about unity, but really demonstrate what that looks like. Maybe people think unity is too hard to achieve, but I do believe that unity is possible.
Well, I agree. And what people have to understand is the opposite of being divided is unity. So if we break it down to very simple idea that unity is just means we're not divided, we're all together. We understand that, you know, our message is that together we are all part of one world, one human race, and that human race is made up of many beautiful colors. And yes. So we've gotten into this pattern of, you know, categorizing human beings for one reason or another, going back through history. And to me, you know, if we were to turn the lights off here, I mean, we're all the same. You know, no one can tell who's who. And the idea that because of the color of your skin or where you come from or who your ancestors were, you know, labels you into a certain race, to me, it just doesn't make sense. There's one race. There's the human race.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. This is a huge undertaking that you're aspiring to do. How do you begin to connect people globally? What foundations have you laid to get this movement going?
So really it's been me and my wife, you know, kind of pushing me from behind. I, you know, everyone always says, you know,
I love that lady.
Well, let me tell you something. I married way up a long time ago. We've been together now 28 years. We've been married 25 this year. And, you know, without her, she's my compass, you know, she's my North Star, and she's always, you know, pushing me to realize that I can do more than maybe I even believe in myself. And the idea for of unity is just simply, you know, realizing that we're all we've got. You know, this is it. And our platform, like I said, is very simple. Our product is designed to work with children. I actually have one here. So this is, I know you showed the picture of it earlier, but, you know, this is our sphere. And then what it does is it shows you inside that, you know, all the crayons are together.
That's awesome.
Regardless of color. And then, you know, inside it says our message: together we are one world, one race, many beautiful colors. So, you know, our goal is to have children all over the world use our product to create, you know, lasting memories, but also to soak in that message, to stop seeing the differences. I mean, it's okay to recognize differences. I mean, some of us, we look different, we sound different, we act different, we come from different places. But other than that, that's it. We're all human beings, and we all need to respect each other as such.
I like the fact that you're starting with the children, because, you know, they're so easy to be shaped and to be molded, and discrimination is learned behavior. So if you rewrite that script that's been handed down in so many generations about prejudice and discrimination, because, you know, discrimination against one is discrimination against us all. You know, we shouldn't be attacking one minority because of the way they looked or the way they act, because it can boomerang back to us. So that's why I say discrimination against one is discrimination against us all. We're all human beings, one race. And I like the fact that you want to rewrite that script and show those different colors through crayons, because we know children love to play. They love to color. They like drawing. And this is an excellent foundation that you're laying for that.
Thank you.
Why did you start with the crayons as opposed, because I know you have a mascot that you use as well. Here's your mascot.
That is Gus, our animated version of our mascot. Gus is short for Global Unity Sphere. And we started with crayons because, you know, just like in the world, inside the Global Unity Sphere, no one color is any more important than another. It takes all of the colors coming together to make something beautiful. And equally in the world, we need the same thing to happen. So again, you know, ethnicity, culture, sure, those are all things that we should all be proud of. But we have to unite under one banner, one flag, so to speak, of the human race.
You know, one of the things that is so important, and even in your starting point with children, you know, when I watch children, my small grandkids, you know, you put crayons in front of them, you know, they just go, I mean, from one to the other, because they're trying to exhaust everyone to see what is different about it.
But the beautiful part about it is that there's an appreciation for it. And what has to happen is that we have to continue to perpetuate a message of this type of unity, being able to value one's sense of self-worth, being able to value differences. You know, I often say that, you know, in a world that we live where there's been very much polarization politically and otherwise, it's never been a greater time that we have to really promote unity like never before. Unity is so important to promote, because when we don't have unity, there are those that will exploit differences. They exploit differences. And so when we exploit differences, what we do in exploiting differences, we make different a bad word.
Correct.
Different is bad or good. It's just different. It means that it's not alike. It's not alike. I mean, listen, long hair, short hair, you know.
No hair.
Exactly. Right. But we learn to embrace and appreciate those things. And unity is really achieved when there is not the need or the intentionality of exalting one above another. In other words, many times there are those that feel like they have to suppress others in order for them to be significant or to reign supreme. But the reality is that when we respect and value each and every individual, we'll understand that they bring something. They add substance to our life. They add substance to our world. They add substance to it. That's the thing I like about potluck, you know. It offers everybody bringing in different dishes, and you can hardly wait because people are bringing in things from their different culture, but we're all eating food. And we come together and we enjoy it, and we have to look at ourselves that way in terms of it. And if we can begin to do that, we can all perpetuate this message of unity. It's not the responsibility of one. It's the responsibility of all.
Well, I agree. And the other reason we started with working with children is we really believe in the lyrics to the song, The Greatest Love of All. You know, that song was recorded in 1979 by George Benson and was a national hit. And then it was re-recorded by Whitney Houston in 1985 and became a global smash.
Exactly.
The idea behind that song, the woman who wrote it was going through breast cancer at the time. And she wrote the song about the struggles and leaving that message behind so the children of the future could go forward, take those lessons and, you know, deal with the adversity in their life. She did pass away shortly after from breast cancer. But the idea of working with children is we do believe they are the future. And if we teach them well, we can sit back and let them lead the way to global unity.
Exactly.
I know you from the motivational role. You know, you've spoken to many platforms empowering adults to tap into their greatest version of themselves. So I'm not surprised that you, knowing your heart and knowing your passion and that knowing you personally, that you would want to make this a global step, not only to the adults, but also to the children. So I applaud you in the work that you're doing thus far.
Thank you. You know, there's a lot we can do with children.
Oh, absolutely.
And when you sit with children, the great thing about children is, you know, we talked, Dr. J talked earlier about differences and, you know, seeing differences is great. I mean, because we are all different. And, you know, my growing up, my house was different than my neighbor's house, different from their neighbor's house. And that's wonderful. We should celebrate those differences. Those differences need to be recognized and celebrated and not used against one another.
I was raised in New York and it's a melting pot. So I didn't know anything about discrimination until I moved here to South Florida. I had no idea it existed. I read about it. I watched television programs about it, but I didn't experience it. And because I had watched documentaries and read so many different books on our heritage and the struggle and stuff. So when I got here to South Florida, I was like, oh, this is what that feels like. And it didn't feel good. It was so painful. With my children, even though I was here, I made it a point to make sure that we had the same foundations that my parents laid for me, that, you know, we're all created equal. There's no big eyes and no little use. We all have to struggle. We all have to go get our education. We have to put in the work. And unfortunately, that's the disconnect. That's the breakdown that I think we're experiencing right now with this generation, is because they have no idea of who they were or whose they are. So it's such a huge disconnect. So you said that we can learn a lot from children. So being that you're starting with the children with the crayons and showing them the different colors, they can take that into their home and say to their parents, this is what I learned today, and this is what and how the innocence of love should be. Caring should be. It's innocence. They're not innocent until we pollute them.
Wow.
We take away their innocence.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, we do so out of our ignorance. We do so out of our ignorance and the thirst oftentimes for power. The thirst for power, having to have power, exalting ourselves above another. Feeling that we have to minimize and put one down in order that we may feel that we are in power and control. And the thing about it is that you can't talk about unity really without talking about love, because definitely love is what I call the fuel that will drive unity. Love is the fuel that will drive unity. And so when we recognize what love looks like, when we recognize unity, it's no different than me having to come to the rescue of someone who may not look like me, who may not subscribe to my belief system. But if I'm seeing them going through cardiac arrest, I don't look and say, oh, no, boy, you know, wrong culture, you know, and walk away. There's something inside of me, the compassion that is part of that humanness, the humanity inside of me that says, listen, come to their rescue, aid and assist. And we have to get back to that point there. Dominance, control, those things are the destructors. They destroy the fabric. And it was Jimi Hendrix, and I know we know him for his music, but it was Jimi Hendrix who said it so perfectly. He said, until the power of love exceeds the love of power, only then shall the world know peace.
Well, it's interesting. Yes. It's interesting that you bring up love, because if you take a look at our icon, so this is our global symbol for unity. And if you notice, yes, the world is in the shape of a heart, and it's being held in our hands. And, you know, that's what it's really all about. You don't have to know someone to love them in a sense that they are, you know, your fellow human being. And, exactly. You know, the golden rule is, you know, a lot of people misread it. It's not do unto others as they do unto you. It's do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
Have them do unto you.
Exactly. So we need to be, you know, looking out for one another. I like to say we're all on the big ball together, and we all need to take care of one another. You know, and I have two children. I have twin boys. They're now 22 and grown and living out of the house. But I always talked very honestly and open with them. And I sat with them very early on, and I explained to them that my kids were the first real generation that got a trophy just for showing up. They got a participation medal.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to say that that's a bad thing, but what I am going to say is I taught my children that there's really, you know, you're special to me and your mother. You're special to your grandparents. You're special to your family. But quite honestly, there's really nothing special about you. You have 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 eyes and 2 ears, just like everyone else. But what really determines how special you are, or if you're special, is how you treat other people and what you do with the opportunities that you are presented with in life. How do you, you know, those are the two big things for me. And that's how we have to look at each other in the same aspect.
Absolutely. It's amazing. You said to them basically what Dr. J and I have said to our children.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just feel that, you know, like I said, we're all born the same. You know, we talk about that in our company, that doesn't matter where you come from, you know, human beings, other than the differences, of course, there's always anomalies and differences, and people are born differently, and we celebrate those differences. But you know, for the most part, the gestation period for human beings is all the same. We have the same number of bones in our body. Our blood bleeds the same color. you know, the eyes are everything's in the same place. So we have, there's more that we share in common than is different about us.
How can they connect with you and find out more about the Unity Sphere and Gus and how it can be infiltrated into schools, et cetera?
Well, you bring up a great point. So my wife is a former educator. She was an educator for 15 years. And along with the Global Unity Sphere, as you maybe the viewers can see on the screen, they can go to globalunitysphere.com. There, our website is there. There's a link on there. This is, we're really at the beginning of this. We yes. have just launched a Kickstarter campaign. We're raising money so that we can go to production and bring the Global Unity Sphere to the people. But also my wife has written a unit of education. It's, you know, it's not a textbook. It's not a whole semester of learning. And what it is it's a lesson plan. It's a lesson plan for teachers that they can follow. There's a piece of authentic literature that my wife and I found online. We connected with the author. It's called The Crayon Box That Talked. It's an amazing book written by an amazing man. And we incorporated that into the lesson plan. And the goal, it's called the Unity Unit. And the goal is for, we're going to make it available to teachers so that they can utilize it in their classrooms if they choose. We hope that it's something that catches on and perhaps all schools will use it. It just talks about bringing us together as a people and understanding that we're all the same. We're all together, you know, one world, one race, many beautiful colors.
Mm. Have you done churches as well?
You know, that was something someone brought up to me recently. And I, you know me, Dr. Val, I'm willing to go anywhere, anytime, any place. I'll get myself there, whether, you know, as Dr. King says, if you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. And I will get there no matter what to speak to anyone who's willing to listen. But yes, there, that is a goal as well, to meet with churches across the land to bring this, to get this movement started, to get this into the children's hands.
Mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that we have to get back to inside of any type of methodology of change is that we have to look at principles and laws. There are principles and laws that are out there that literally govern our interactions and what we do, you know, for the action, the consequences, and what happens as a result thereof. And I think it's so important, because even when we start talking about faith-based entities or churches, once again, how do their theological framework, does it align itself with really the unity message? Because there is a thin line. There's a thin line that in the name of empowerment, that some people go to the extreme and they begin to live as if they're walking in entitlement. Mm-hmm. And so entitlement, once again, makes you feel as if you deserve certain things, and it automatically ought to just come to you simply because you are who you are. And that there serves so often in looking at others differently, you know, well, and that's so important.
Well, I agree with you. And to me, again, that goes back to, you know, your, what determines how special you are is how, what you do with the opportunities that you've been given in life and how you treat other people. Those two things. And we'll take that right back to the golden rule: do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, we just need to be better. We need as a country, as a world, as a people, as a human race, we need to do and be better.
You know, and to think about it, it won't happen by accident. Unity has to be intentional.
Right.
We have to be intentional. We have to be deliberate. It's not a time to be silent. You know, when we see disruptors or those that are coming to disturb unity, we have to be the change. We have to be that visible entity that speaks up and speak out. And that matters a lot. You know, there are times when silence is not the order of the day. It's not the prescription that we need. There are times we need people to be vocal enough to say, hey, that's not right. Hey, that's a human being. And I give you a perfect example. I was having this conversation the other day, and I thought about my kids when they were growing up. And because they had seen compassion for others,
we would be sometime driving and there would be panhandlers or folks that may be homeless, you know, on the medium or whatever. And so they've seen dad give them money and give them money and fine. But when they got older, they wasn't waiting on dad to give money. They were doing it themselves. And there was time. I'm like, I just gave you that. And they gave it right back because they saw it. And I said, why did you do that? Because dad, he needed more than I did. Mm-hmm. He needs to know that somebody cares. And that was very interesting to me. Not once did they ever say, well, he's white, he's black, he's Hispanic, he's an Asian. It was the fact that they saw a person that they understood that, listen, he's not whole right now. And whatever we can do to contribute to that, that's what we do. And I think that we have to look at unity once again through that scope of wholeness. We're not whole until we achieve unity. We're not truly whole until we achieve unity. And so when unity is achieved, that's when real power is released in the earth. When we achieve unity, the real power, not political power, not all of these partisan things, but the thing that really moves the very soul, the very mind, the very heart of us as human beings. At the end of the day, I need air to breathe and I need water to drink. And I bet you do too.
Well, exactly. We all do. And, you know, in every barrel of apples, there's always a few that go bad. And yes, the idea is not to let them spoil the rest. There's always going to be bad actors. There's always, you know, the old saying is you can never stop someone who's truly intent on doing something wrong or doing harm. Yes. And as hard as we try. But my idea is focus on the positive. I saw a bumper sticker the other day that just, it makes me shake my head because it used, you know, it had expletives in its message. And rather than focusing on the negative, you know, let's spread love, let's spread unity. Let's not, you know, focus on those positives rather than starting with an end or a negative. To me, mm-hmm. is always going to divide people and make them choose sides. You know, bottom line, the world just needs more love in it. And if we're unified, then we care about each other and we can love one another as human beings. And we're not talking about, you know, emotional love for your partner or your spouse or your family. It's different. But love of dignity, respect, you know, and understanding of another human being.
It's absolutely necessary.
Fact that you have it. Global unity sphere is round. So mm-hmm. it means that it just rolls from one person to the next, one person to the next, and to finally there's a connection across the globe, across barriers of racism, across barriers of hate. And I tell you, this is so simple. This is a simple way to open up that door and to say, let's commune together. Let's take a coloring book and let's just, you can have like how they do tea parties, have mm-hmm. a crayon mm-hmm. party where you're sitting there coloring mm-hmm. and talking. It's just so heartfelt and so warm. I'm feeling embracing the vision of what you're trying to do, to start it at the foundation. Mm-hmm. At the foundation of innocence before you're corrupted.
Well, if you look at children and they color, they color the dog purple. They color the cat green. The kids don't really worry about, you know, being right or being wrong. They just see what they want to see and they color the way their heart tells them to. So when you talk about the innocence of children, when you watch them color, it's the most amazing thing. Music for me is a big thing. Yesterday I sent Dr. Val a picture of me with Jeffrey Osborne, one of my
all-time favorites. He always.
Well, I was lucky enough a few years ago, Deborah and I escaped Florida. I think it was Hurricane either Matthew or Michael. And we escaped. I had surprised her. We were traveling to Memphis to see Jeffrey Osborne at the Orpheum Theater. And so we were lucky enough. We got waylaid in Memphis for about 3 days. So that was fantastic. And we spent some time there. I will say probably to date, the friendliest city I've ever been in. We spent a lot of time there. It was great. We went to the Civil Rights Museum. We just had a wonderful time. But you know, talking about the sphere and the design and the shape, originally I started out with globes that I purchased and I cut them open, which, believe me, you think it's easy. Getting a globe apart is not easy. I almost lost a couple of fingers in the process. And then I bought hinges at the hardware store and screwed them on the back and worked it out so that I could get it to close properly. And then once I finally got that idea, I went forward to a designer who helped me. Then one day my manufacturer sent me some spec photos. And when he sent it over, the dome was clear. And I saw it. And I said to him, I said, Chris, I said, and this is a 3D printed prototype. So the actual version will be even clearer. So you can see the crayons inside. I said, Chris, can we manufacture clear? And he said, well, yeah, I don't see why not. I said, because now we've really created the global Unity Sphere. It's not just a globe with crayons in it. We've actually created the global Unity Sphere. And that was real. That was when the fire went from a spark to from a flame to a bonfire.
Mm. Michael, you're a motivational speaker. So speak to us about what this means as individuals, why this is so important for us to actually come together, and also because it's a matter of individuals fulfilling purpose too. Because if they are able to lay the foundation of who they are, then they can rise up to be who they're intended to be instead of looking at all the limitations they may have. Just like you, mm-hmm. I'm sure you had a lot of obstacles. You said your wife is like, hey, what about this project? You know, speak to individuals who are procrastinating on their purpose and that vision they have of themselves.
I certainly can do that because I can relate. You know, I am an idea person. I've always been that, but implementation has not always been my thing. I always need somebody behind me pushing me to be best and do my best and to push forward. And if you're out there, if you're thinking about it's too hard or it won't happen for a person like me, or, you know, it's not meant for someone like me, we live in a place where anything is possible. I believe in two things. I believe in dreaming big and that anything is possible. On my nightstand next to my bed is a ceramic, I guess you would call it a little small billboard. On one side, it says dream big. On the other side, it says anything is possible. Mm-hmm. And you have to know it. You know, I'm a big analogy person. The little things, if it's to be, it's up to me. You know, those things, you have to see them every day. Write them down. Put them on your mirror in the morning. You have to know that. If you have a great idea, share it. I always tell people, don't ask me how I'm doing. Ask me what I'm doing.
What?
Because I want to share that with people. And you have to know that you can accomplish whatever you want. It may not happen right away. It may take time. Most things, you know, that are hard are usually worth it. But, yes. You know, it's just sitting back and waiting for someone else to bring you along is not the way to be. You know, there are chiefs and there are Indians as far as, you know, leading the pack and following along, and that's fine. We need all people. But if you have an idea or you have a thought, don't be afraid to share it. Don't be afraid to go after it and dream big.
You know, and one of the things, it goes back to how we really sometimes view ourselves, even our own
perception of who we are has oftentimes been narrated and shaped by others' opinions or our experiences that we've had. And sometimes though we get great ideas and things, we talk ourselves out of it because we immediately go to look for our limitations. Well, I don't do this well. I can't do that well. You know, man, I can't draw a straight line with the ruler. You know, they always got on me because I colored outside the line. And so we start serving ourselves up all the excuses in our mind. But we have to really understand we all start from a very interesting point, and that's an idea. That's an idea. And from that idea, it requires an action. When it becomes actionable, now we begin to move toward the road of possibility. And that's what we have to understand. You know, we don't have to be great to get started, but we do have to get started if we're going to become great. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple as that. And if we're patient enough to walk through the process and recognize, you know, it's like what we talked about earlier. I was amongst people that did not know what footprints they were making in history back in that time. They simply were moved by their passion, their vision of what they wanted to see their world look like, and they did so. I just happened to be caught in the crossfires, not recognizing that I was with people that were great visionaries, people that were maybe ahead of their time, but they didn't wait for someone to pronounce to them, you're great. They didn't wait for anyone to pronounce to them that, wow, you're going to make history. No, they, in their mind, they knew that they had to put action forth, and that's what has to happen. Unity will be a result of intentionality and action. That we make it happen, we deliver it inside of what we can control. And that is the way we entreat one another. It's the way that we're willing to reach out to one another. You know, we can start with just talking to our neighbors, you know, we can start with just very small things inside of it because, you know, in South Florida, we experience hurricanes from time to time.
We sure do.
Nothing will unify you like a hurricane, right? When everything is going, you know, boy, power's off and everything. You want to share the grill. You want to do everything. Hi, how long you been living here? 5 years. Okay, good. Because the fact we saw something that we saw a threat to our humanity to a certain degree, and we understood just how vulnerable we all were.
Mm-hmm.
If we can live life looking at the fact that as much as we're all vulnerable, we're also all worthy and we're all strengthened. And if we can just build upon those things, we can achieve unity because we can get there. If we eliminate excuses, we can get to unity. If we can eliminate, you know, rehearsing division and divisive thing, we can get to unity. And we have to perpetuate that message. And no one better than the kids. The kids will believe it. If we really get, they will believe it and they will demonstrate it.
I agree.
I like that analogy you use, Dr. J, when there's adversity and disasters in our lives, we don't care who it is that comes to our rescue. We're not going to turn them away because they look a certain way. Help is there, and you're going to receive that help because why? You're in a state of desperation, and I'd like to submit to the audience that we're all in a state of desperation right now.
Right.
We have got to be the change we want to see in the earth. And hopefully that change would be that of unity and not being so disconnected as we have been over the past 5-6 years. It has been total chaos. It's time to reposition ourselves. It's time for us to get refocused and on our purpose, our dreams, and remember that we are all individuals. We, like you said, Michael, bleed the same blood. It doesn't matter what we look like outside, but what does matter is what is inside, and that's our heart. So the unity sphere, I think, is a great start for us to get going. And I want you to share with individuals the website and how they can connect with you, who you're looking for to expand, because they're different nonprofits as well that can benefit from this program, this movement that you have.
Agreed. What I'm looking for is literally my tribe. I'm looking for those people who want to focus on unity rather than diversity, division, so to speak, you know, dividing each other. So unity is our thing. It's our brand. It's what we're all about. They can go to our website, globalunitysphere.com. They can learn more about us there. There is a link on there that will take them to our Kickstarter campaign. We are in the process of raising money to move forward with getting into production and bringing the Global Unity Sphere to the world. And ultimately, it's about connecting with people that want to focus on the positive, that want to move forward together, that understand that, you know, as Aesop said, united we stand, divided we fall. And we feel like we're in a free fall. And we need that free fall needs to go away. We need to start moving forward. We need to pick ourselves up together, move forward together.
That is awesome. I see we are global. So this is a global unity sphere that you have. so that individuals can reach out to you, because I have to see. So I think that's German that they've written. And so I don't understand what that is saying. But like I said, we are reaching globally through platforms.
Absolutely. You know, we need to stretch across the ocean. We need to reach out to everybody, north, south, east, and west. We need to let them know that together we are all part of one world, one human race, and that human race is made up of many beautiful colors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Michael, you also an author too, aren't you?
I am. That's how we met. Dr. J said something earlier that made me think of my mentor, one of my mentors, Les Brown. That, absolutely. You know, someone's opinion of you does not have to become your reality. If that was the case, I wouldn't be where I am today. I was not the greatest student. I was the young man who was deemed always never living up to his potential. I was afraid of potential, because God forbid you fail, you've just lost your potential. If you have no potential, then what do you have? But for me, I just feel like we need to move forward together. And I'm always an auditory visual, so I'm always connecting with analogies, with song lyrics, something that touches me, that motivates me, and keeps me moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I've been with Les for like 27 years, been his booking agent, et cetera, and he's never seen color. He's never seen color. He motivates and inspires the world. And so like some of the great leaders like Dr. King, he didn't see color lines or anything. He just wanted to empower individuals to walk in what? Unity.
Unity. Absolutely. And if you go to the dream speech, if you read the speech, I talked to Dr. J earlier before we got on the air talking about Dr. King was asked to put his sermons into book form at one point, and he did not want to. His thoughts were, my sermons are for the ear, not the eye. But he eventually gave in at the encouragement of his wife, and he put his sermons into book form. And it's a great book. It's called Strength to Love. And that's important, because if we go to the dream speech today, you know, one of the biggest takeaways from that speech is that his goal was that people would be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. And that goes all across the world, regardless of where you live, where you're from. It does go about your character. And if your character is focused on unity, then you're headed in the right direction.
You know, that sphere that you have with the crayons, you know, that actually will help build character, because it will allow children to share. Mm-hmm. It will allow them the ability to communicate and allow them the ability to care, because they're connecting with another human being. Mm-hmm. And it's, they'll have a nature to be good or to be bad. But if you're communicating together in a classroom, most children, they're like little fairies. They're just so bubbly and so happy all over the place. They don't see or understand any difference of a child. Just that their hair may be different, their skin may be different, but you know, they don't understand any of that. They just know that it's another child.
Mm-hmm. And even when children are faced with differences, you know, a child see another child, maybe a child has special needs. It's an interesting thing how a child will look at another child, and there's something in their empathy bank that begins to pour, you know, what can I do? Empathy inside of that, because understanding that they still have worth. They still have worth. They still should be respected. They should still be valued, because even a broken crayon still colors.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A broken crayon still colors. And we have to look at that inside of it. We may not all start off at the same place in life. We may have not got off the magic carpet ride. Everyone wasn't born with a silver spoon, but that does not determine your value at all. Our value is really intrinsic. It's not extrinsic. It's an intrinsic thing. It's not extrinsic. And when we begin to teach those type things, it's amazing what happens. And some of the things I teach with parenting, I talk about the fact of how do you help to develop empathy with your young kids? Well, first of all, it has to be demonstrated. It has to be demonstrated.
Where is empathy? And we get an opportunity to show that each and every day of our lives. I believe that we all are encountered and presented with opportunities to not only show empathy, to show love, to demonstrate unity. And if we become those change, if we become those visual demonstrations in our world, where we are, we begin to change things around us. We can change the atmosphere based upon our commitment and our intentionality to be those change makers.
I look at my grandsons, one is 17 months and one will be a year old on the February 5th. And so, you know, the 17-month-old one, he's taller and more animated. And then my younger grandson, he's just busy, look like he's trying to keep up with the other one. So the older one, he'll go over and try and help him and then hand him his toys and stuff. And it's just the innocence of children. And that's how they are, you know, from the time they're little babies. They're little babies and they're looking out for one another. They have that innate nature to want to serve, want to love, want to care. And I am so grateful, Michael, that you came up with the Global Unity Sphere to kind of perpetuate that, to continue with the innocence of our children. So hopefully when they grow up to be teens, et cetera, they'll remember the unity, the foundation that was laid, just like we try to impart, you know, normalism with our children right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big part of it. We have a program, hopefully, with this. It's called the Unity Unit that I spoke about earlier that my wife developed. The idea is that children will be able to go on the website. They'll be able to, you know, put in their name and the unit that they were part of, and they'll get a certificate in the mail, and a badge to wear, and they'll become Junior Unity Ambassadors. So, you know, Gus is our, this is our 10-inch plush toy. This is Gus. And, you know, the idea is that children will become Junior Unity Ambassadors. There are plans for a full human life-size mascot of Gus that can visit schools and be with children. So just continuing to promote the positive and promote unity, that together we are part of one world, one human race, and that human race is made up of many beautiful colors. So getting kids to adopt that, if that's your mantra, if that's how you believe, that's never going away. That becomes a part of who you are. And you're going to treat the world as such going forward.
Excellent. This has been a great time to connect with you, Michael.
Absolutely.
And see what you're doing, because you're always doing something and you're always giving, you're always caring. As I started with your introduction, you're a businessman, and here you are, a business professional, and you're trying to sow back into the community. And I appreciate you for doing that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time this evening.
Any closing remarks?
Wow, this has been such a journey, and reconnecting with you to be on your show tonight, meeting Dr. J and having this discussion, to me is just so powerful and so amazing, because I was asked at one point, you know, what's my ultimate goal with this project? And my goal is really to make a difference. If we make a dollar, that's great. We have plans for what charity we're going to partner with. But I would like to make a difference. I would like to leave a legacy of caring. I told my wife a long time ago that someday when I leave this world, and I plan to go first because I just refuse to be here without her, but I don't care what she puts on my tombstone, but all I really want on my tombstone, the only thing that I demand that is on there is the words, "Here lies a person who cared." And yes. That's really what it's all about. It's about caring about one another and moving forward in unity and getting to a place where it doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin, that we just work together and recognize that we're part of something bigger. And if we can come together in unity as a town, as a state, as a country, as a planet, the world's just going to be a better place.
Mm. Exactly. Indeed, you know, it is. I'm so glad to know you.
Likewise.
Just recognizing the fact that we all can be agents of unity change. We can. Mm-hmm. We might not all know trigonometry or calculus. We might not all know the tenets of engineering. We might not all know different languages. But there is something that we do know. And that's the ability to be able to serve our fellow man with inside of intentionality of unity. One of the things Dr. King said, he said, everyone can be great because everyone can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. All you have to do is simply do that, is serve a heart full of love and an intentionality to make a difference. So for that person that might be listening tonight, that might be watching, and may feel like they have nothing to contribute. They have nothing to contribute. They haven't invented nothing. They haven't written nothing. They haven't soared to great feats. I want them to know that they can be a part of the ambassadors of change and ambassadors of unity because they can be intentional about who they are. And they will make a greater imprint in life than they ever, ever dreamed possible. Because at the end of the day, like you said, when we leave here, I want to know that I left an impact on the world. Mm. And I believe that if my presence didn't make a difference, my absence won't either.
That's so true. And it's not just the kids. We're starting there, but amazingly, the coloring market the for adults is growing exponentially, especially from COVID and people being home all the time.
Being home, yes.
Exactly. Absolutely. So anybody and everybody can be a unity ambassador. Mm-hmm. And that's our goal.
Absolutely. Are you going to have puzzles?
I love it.
We are in the process. Gosh, Dr. Val, I need to bring you here. And we're not that far apart. I'm in South Florida, too. So we're going to have to really connect because that is one of the goals. Activity books, coloring books, puzzle books, putting our backpacks for children, putting our icon on backpacks for children. I would just love someday the ultimate goal. Someone asked me what height could Gus get to? If someday Gus and Mickey Mouse are best friends, the world will truly be a better place.
Yeah. The reason why I mentioned puzzles is because I know my son, who's a principal, he loves doing puzzles. He said it calms him. So when you brought up the fact that people are, you know, in their homes because of COVID and then the boredom and all, they can put together little pieces of puzzles and give their mind something to do. And it'd be so wonderful to see a puzzle with all different colors of nationalities on that puzzle and to bring about the unity, the global unity sphere. So that's what came to my mind. That's what I envisioned. You can run with it.
Puzzles can be very therapeutic. Can be very therapeutic. But I go back to, once again, your whole global unity sphere. And I'm reminded of the story of the father who was such a busy man. And his little five-year-old wanted to play with him that evening and everything. He said, "Now give me a few minutes. And he said, "Come back a few minutes." Say, "Dad." He said, "Come on." He said, "No, come on, give me five more minutes." He would come back. And finally, he kept coming back. The dad thought he would have him. So he took the newspaper and he began to rip this page from the newspaper and little pieces said, "Now look, when you can put that back together, you come back, I promise you I'm going to play with him." Well, in less than 5 minutes, the little boy was back and his dad said, "What are you doing back so quick?" He said, "Because Dad, on the other side of the picture of a man was a world. And when I put the man back together, I put the world back together."
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's powerful. That's a
powerful story.
That's what unity looks like.
Thank you so much. So our special guest, Michael Ponte, he's a businessman, motivational speaker, and he has started the movement called Global Unity Sphere. So you can visit his website, www.globalunitysphere.com. And I also want to invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and you can subscribe to Hot Topics from the Soul YouTube channel. And I also invite you to visit the website of Dr. J.R. Thicklin. He is jrthicklin.com. He is a motivational speaker as well, and his nonprofit deals with domestic violence. So you want to visit his website and support the work that he's doing. He is a man that travels nationally and internationally, you know, talking of and bringing awareness of domestic violence. And, you know, he's going to write some books, and he has audio CDs and stuff available. So I want you to visit his website, www.jrthicklin.com, and see all the work that he is doing in the community. And if you turn on your news, you're likely to see him on television, because a lot of times, you know, TV stations call upon him to speak as an authoritative when it comes to domestic violence. And also visit my website, FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com. We're here because you're here. The platform was created to bring awareness to the community of different things that's going on. And my nonprofit, The Soul of a Woman, is for domestic violence and children in single parent homes. So I invite you to visit our website, FromTheSoulOfAWoman.com, and donate. One-time donation, $10, $20, you spend that on a meal. So I invite you to visit our website. Again, thank you, Michael Ponte, for joining us tonight on Hot Topics from the Soul. And remember Dr. King's words. He says, out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope. Thank you. Good night, and God bless.
Thank you.